Just love to have you come. Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, we're going to begin reading in verse 21. Acts 27, verse 21. The Bible says, "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." I confess to you, this possibly could be my very favorite portion and passage of Scripture. I've preached from it before and may do it again, should God lead in that direction. But I thought, as I got back to this, we're going through, preaching through the book of Acts, I thought as I got back here, I thought, now, Lord, what am I going to preach now? I've preached from this passage many times, but the Lord does as He always does. He gave me a message, all right? What's going on here, if you're not familiar, Paul was on board a ship that was caught in a storm. And I want to tell you, it was a humdinger of a storm. Verse 20 says, "All hope that we might be saved was taken away." And so all their hope that they might survive was gone, all right? So everybody on board figured, we're dead. We're dead. We're going to all die. The ship's going to sink. And this wasn't just a little squall that had blown up and would soon pass. It had lasted now for several days. The sailors, if you read earlier in the scripture here, they had done everything they knew to do, but it was to no avail. There was great problems. But in the midst of that situation, Paul heard from God. Now, I'm glad God doesn't get lost in the storms of life. I'm so glad that's true. Those storms do not bother Him. Those storms you and I go through, they don't bother Him at all. And He's able to get a message to us even in the midst of the storm. So Paul got that message that night or that occasion on that ship, and he then turned around and relayed it to his fellow travelers with him. So I want you to look at it. There's four things I want you to see, and really and truly, almost all of it is introduction to get to the last point. But I promise the last point won't take as long as the introduction, all right? Well, maybe, all right? But I want you to notice the message, okay? Verse 21, he said, "I just want to remind you. I want to remind you." He said, "Hey, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss." You know, it's not "I told you so," but it's close. It's close. He had tried to warn them. I mean, earlier he had tried to warn them. Earlier in this chapter, he said, "Look, fellas, I perceive that this voyage is going to be with great loss, and you might want to think about weathering and wintering right where they are." And, of course, they didn't listen to him. They said, "No, we're not going to listen to you. I mean, after all, you're just a preacher. What do you know?" And we have the same situation oftentimes in today's world with folks who won't listen. They will not pay attention to the warning that's given to them by the man of God who's preaching the Bible, all right? And I want you to notice, it's not that they couldn't heed. They wouldn't heed. There's a big difference. There's a phrase we like to use when we get caught. "Well, I couldn't help myself." Usually that's a lie. We say, "I couldn't help myself." What we should have said was, "I didn't help myself." But they could have listened. They could have given heed. Folks today can heed the message from the Word of God if they want to. But so many today don't. And Paul is just coming along. He said, just remind you. I want to remind you. You could have avoided this. You could have avoided. Hey, we put ourselves, we put our family, and even our friends sometimes in danger because we don't heed the Word of God. We don't listen to what God says to us. So the first message Paul said to him is, let me remind you. Let me remind you. But I want you to see the second thing he did. He said, I also want to exhort you. Exhort you. Look at verse 22. He said, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Hey, he said, look, fellows, in spite of your rejection of my warning, I'd like to encourage you right now, okay? Here we are in the midst of the storm, but I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. I said to you this morning, Brother and Ms. Hodges, they need some encouragement. They do. They do. They're going through a storm. They're going through a trial. It's tough when you do that. You say, well, just trust God. You should, but it's good to be encouraged. It's good. Hey, you and I, we can help them. We can encourage them. We can encourage them. Give them a call. Call them up on the phone. Hey, praying for you. Now, I hope they're listening, all right? And if they are and nobody calls, how's that going to make them feel? So I'm putting a little pressure on you, all right? Want to encourage you to encourage them. Paul was attempting to do that. And I want you to notice what he says. I can't help it. I read this and I think, okay. He said, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there should be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now, wait a minute. Remember what's going on. They're in the middle of a storm. They're in the midst of a storm that's lasted for days. The Bible tells us it goes 2 weeks and they didn't even see the sun. 2 weeks of a storm on a ship. Hey, we're not talking about the Titanic. We're talking about something much smaller. This ship would have bounced on those waves. I bet everybody pretty much was seasick. Man, 2 weeks worth of that. The Bible tells us they hadn't eaten. Man, because who wanted to eat when you're seasick? And then Paul stands up and says, hey, just want to encourage you fellas. Ship's going to sink, but everybody's going to be okay. How would you have felt if you'd have been in that situation? Especially, I think there was like 276 people on board this ship. Somebody on there had to be unable to swim. How would you like to hear the announcement? Hey, you're going to be okay. The ship's going to sink, but you're going to be okay. I can't swim. I mean, you're telling me that, cheer up, the ship's going to sink? Hey, Paul did his best. He said, I just want to exhort you. You know, sometimes you say, well, that's kind of tough. Well, wait a minute, he told them the truth. When you're encouraging people, you shouldn't lie to people. You ought to encourage them. And as I said, may not have sounded like great encouragement, but I think about it from the standpoint of a child of God. In the context of Christianity, the only thing that you can lose is the ship. That's this old body. That's this old body. That's the only thing that we need to worry about losing. The only thing we need to worry. And we don't need to worry about losing that. Okay? Because you see, nothing can touch, if you're a child of God, nothing can touch your soul. Man, it's safe, it's secure, it's eternally secure. And from the standpoint of the child of God, we may have to go through some terrible experiences. We may go through some great storms down here. But in the long run, I just want to encourage you, it's going to be okay. Going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. So Paul said, I want to remind you, I want to encourage you. And then he said, I want to calm you. Now, I find that amazingly proper. When you've just denounced the ship's going to sink, there probably needed a little calming in that group. He said, what do you mean? Well, look, if you will, down in verse 24. Well, let's read verse 23. They really go together. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Fear not, Paul. Hey, just want to calm you down a little bit. That fear not came directly from God. The angel of God brought that message to him and said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He said, because, and the reason he says is because thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Paul standing before that crowd on that ship. And he said, I want to encourage you. Ship's going to sink. You're going to be all right. But let me calm you down now. I know some of you got excited when you heard that announcement. But God told me, fear not. He's assured me. All right? He said, you're going to be there. You're going to stand before Caesar. And he said, I've given you all of those that with you. All of them that are with you. Had God so chosen, he could have said, Paul, you're the only one's going to survive. Try to get as many of them saved as you can before the boat sinks. But he said, they're all going to be there. What a marvelous, all right? Because God was taking care of Paul, those folks that were with him could be calm, knowing that he would also take care of them. Hey, sometimes the wise thing for you to do is find out who God's taking care of and get right close to him. Want to be a part of that, all right? I'd like for some of that blessing to slop over on me, if you will. Just like to be able to enjoy it. Paul's message was, hey, I want to remind you. I want to exhort you. I want to calm you. But then he says in verse 25, and here's, I believe, the key verse to everything that's been said. He said, I want to assure you. And here's the assurance he gave, and it applies. He said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Well, I want you to look at that. I believe God, it shall be even as it was told me. Now, I'll be honest with you. I preached everything up to right here as introduction to get to this part. And I want to just drive this home as much as I possibly can. Paul was confidently, and he could confidently relay everything he had said because he believed God. Because he believed God. Because he believed God, he said, I'll remind you, fellows, I tried to tell you. Because he believed God, he said, now let me exhort you to be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Hey, because I believe God, I just want to calm you and let you know, fear not. God's in control of this whole thing, and I believe him. God's going to do exactly what he said he'll do. Everything he had said was true. Everything he had said, he was going to do it exactly the way Paul said it, as he told me. Now, I don't know if you've ever stopped and thought about that, but believing God makes a huge difference. And I realize in this old world, there's a heap of people who don't believe it. There's a lot of people that look at this book right here and say, it's just a book that was written by men. It's got all kinds of mistakes in it. I never had anybody find one yet, but I've had people claim all kinds of things, and they don't believe this. But I'm telling you, you're looking at a preacher that says to you, I believe God. I believe God. There's a great old song. Here's the chorus. Jesus said it, I believe it, his word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, his word will last forever throughout eternity. I believe that with all that's within me. People say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. The truth of the matter is, God said it, that settles it. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not, it's true. I believe God. But I want you to think about what Paul said when he said, it shall be even as it was told me. You see, the Lord gave Paul a lot of messages. The Lord spoke to Paul and had him record many of the books that we have today in the New Testament. And I want you to look at a few things with me today that was told him. And I believe when Paul said, I believe God and it's going to be as he was told, I believe he's talking about every one of those things. He was talking specifically there that time. Hey, ship's going to sink, we'll all be saved. And by the way, they all did get to land. All made it. Nobody drowned. The ship was destroyed, but nobody lost their life. Paul said, I believe it. It's going to be even as it was told me. But let's look at a few other things. Would you take your Bible and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You and I who believe God are given some assurance and given some comfort that the world people have no idea how great it is. Can't grasp it. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, would you look at verse 16? These are some words that God gave Paul. And he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and he said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, my soul, what a message from God. I believe Paul could stand here today and said, it'll be even as it was told me. It'll be, what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about the rapture. Talking about that time when the Lord's going to come back for his own. For those that are his, we're going to be called up to meet him. The graves are going to open up. Those that were saved and have been buried, those bodies are going to be resurrected. They're going to be brought out of that grave. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. What a marvelous truth that is. What a wonderful thought that is. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for those that are his. I've been looking forward for his return for years. For years. Be honest with you, I thought he would have come by now. But he's not on my timetable. He's not on your schedule. He's on his schedule. But it doesn't change the fact that he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. What a truth. What a thing. You talk about an encouragement, that's an encouragement. You're talking about something that would calm you, that ought to calm you. You talk about something that ought to assure you, that ought to be a great assurance to you that Jesus Christ is coming again. And when he returns, he's coming for those that belong to him first. We're going to be caught out of this world. Caught out of this world. Hey, but that's not all. God gave some other messages. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Chapter 5, God gave Paul some words here to give to us. And oh my, what meaning they have. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, are you there? Look at verse 1. For we know, I like those kind of things. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Look down in verse 6. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Verse 8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Hey, what's the picture? What's the message? Hey, death for the child of God is simply a move. It is just simply a move. That's all it is. It's a move from this earthly tabernacle. The Bible says, into a house not made with hands. That's death. Death comes. Death comes. Death came for Mrs. Hawkins. But you said, oh, terrible. No, it was simply moving. It was moving day this last week for her. The Bible talks that this earthly tabernacle were dissolved. Hey, that's the old body we live in, okay? This old body we live in. Now, there's some of you here that you're very, very young, and you think, man, I don't know. I'm sort of enjoying living here. And it's talking about longing and being rather to be willing to be absent from the body. And that means willing to die. Preacher, I'm not sure about that. Well, can I say this to you? I'm having a big time here in this old world. I'm enjoying life. I enjoy the privilege that I have. But man, I'll be honest, I'm kind of longing for home. Kind of longing for home. My family, we've got this terrible problem. We get off on vacation and we have a good time. We enjoyed it. I mean, even when my kids were at home, and we enjoyed vacation. We had good times together. And but when that we decide, okay, it's time to go home. Once that old vehicle gets pointed home, we're not too anxious. We stop. I remember we had been out to Arizona. I think it's the last real family vacation we had before they got married and they went their ways. But we were headed for home. We started talking. Now, we were in New Mexico. The day was going along, and we got to talking about where to stop and spend the night. And as we talked, the more we talked about, let's just go home. Let's just go home. Are you like that? One time I took my mom and dad. Man, they were up in years, couldn't drive, and I drove them to Georgia. And we went and visited Georgia the last time they both got to go. And so we went there, and we started home, and we were talking about stopping. And I said, well, hey, I said, if one of y'all will drive for just a little bit and let me sleep just a little bit, we won't have to stop. And neither one of them said, oh, no, we want to stop. No, we're longing for home. Longing for home. As you serve the Lord and as you grow as a child of God, things start looking better over there. Things start looking better over there. Man, and we begin to long for that. And you remember death for the child of God? It's just a move. It's just a move. Move from this place, this temporary earthly tabernacle, to that eternal home made without hands. Oh, yeah, it shall be even as it was told me. It shall be even as it was told me. Well, wait a minute, there's something else about death. Look in Philippians chapter 1, would you? Philippians chapter 1. What a wonderful truth. Here's the Apostle Paul. He said, I believe God, and it'll be as, you know, exactly as it was told me. Well, one of the things God told Paul, and he wrote it to the church at Philippi, Philippians 1, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To die is gain. Hey, boy, just to think that death is just a move, but it's to gain. It's to gain. Some people here, you've experienced that time in life when you move, and you said, we're going to downsize. We're going to downsize. We're going to get rid of some stuff. Well, we know we really can't afford maybe the bigger house. And my brother and his wife, when they moved, they went down to one car. You know, they downsized and they got rid of it. Why? Well, we can't afford all those things anymore in retirement. Well, wait a minute. For the child of God, Paul said to die is gain. The gain. We look it down here. We lose the presence of our friends and loved ones and family members through death. We suffer loss. But I just want to tell you something. For that child of God who passes away, death is not a loss at all. The Bible said it's gain. It is gain, all right? It's the gain of heaven. The gain of glory. To move from this place to a perfect place. Perfect place. The gain of the presence of God. The gain of eternal health and happiness. You mark that down. What a time to die is gain. Paul said, I believe God. To die is gain, and it'll be just as he told me. And it will be. You can count on it. It will be. But let me tell you something that applies. You said, preacher, all those things in the future. I know that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I saved this one, all right? I've saved this one for you because I knew there's some of you sitting here going, preacher, I ain't real sure. I'm just anxious to die. And I'll be honest with you. I don't know that I'm anxious to die, but I begin to look forward to it sometimes. But here's something you can take it to the bank right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, would you look at verse 9? And he said unto me, now that he is the Lord. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Hey, I tell you what. When I look at that and I read that verse, the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient. You said, preacher, how does that apply to me? I believe that means for you and I as a child of God, if you're saved, you've been born again, you can make it through whatever life throws at you. Whatever it is. Well, sure it's hard. Yes, it is. But the grace of God will get you through it. The grace of God will get you through that. It may be tough. It may be a time of suffering. It may be emotionally difficult. It may be physically difficult. It may be mentally difficult. But as a child of God, God says, my grace is sufficient. My grace. Hey, God told Paul his grace was sufficient for him. He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Hey, we've got plenty of weakness. We have a more than sufficient supply of weakness. But man, it's more than matched by his grace. More than matched by his strength to give us. And we can get through. We've got the assurance. You know, Paul said, I believe God. It'll be as he told me. It will be as he told me. I believe what he said. I believe what he said. Hey, I want to ask you this. Do you believe him? Do you believe him today? Paul said, man, he stood up in the middle of the storm. By the way, the storm hadn't lessened any when he stood up. And he said, I'll encourage you, I'll calm you, and I'll assure you. Why? Because I believe God. I believe God. Hey, I don't believe God's backed up on his word one bit. Not one bit. And I believe we can stand here this morning in assurance that God's still going to do what he said he would do in every way. And he'll do it for you because he's no respecter of person. It's not something that, well, he won't do it for me. I'm not the world's best Christian, but he'll still do it for you if you'll let him. You'll turn to him. You'll turn to him. You know, I look back on my life and I think about, to be honest with you, there's not been a whole lot of suffering But man, I remember one summer, I had a bout with kidney stones. And it started like April, and it didn't end until, I think, September before all was said and done. And a lot of that time, I was sitting in the recliner thinking, how long is this going to last? Man, they've tried this, they've tried that. And there were weeks in there, the only place I was comfortable was in the bed or in my recliner. Anywhere else, man, that I was irritated and I had pain going on. You say, well, did you? And I preached during that time. I'm not bragging on me. You said, how? Because God's grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. It's sufficient for me. It's sufficient for Paul. It's sufficient for you. The question is, do you believe God? Do you believe God? I want to throw one last thing and I'm done. Take your Bible to Psalm chapter 90. You said Paul didn't write that, preacher. He didn't write any of the Psalms. You're right. He didn't write one of them. But I believe he read them. I believe he had them and he read those. I want you to look at verse 10. Oftentimes I've used these verses in a funeral. The Bible says, verse 10, Psalm 90, the days of our years are 70 years. That's 70, all right? And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Because of that, we have verse 12 that says, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Hey, you say, here's the message. Life is short. Life is short. Stephen and Luis over here and Sarah, they think, man, you're 70. That's way ahead in time. But they're just teenagers. See, they don't realize yet how quickly years go by. But they'll find out. They will find out. When I was that age, time drug. I know at least one of them can't wait for the day they get their driver's license. I'm not going to say who, but they're just looking forward to it. And when you're in that years, you try to rush life. But the older you get, you go, slow down. Because it starts flying by. Hey, the truth of the matter is this life is short. But eternity is long. Eternity is long. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Hey, more time, more thought, and more energy ought to be given to eternity. Eternity. Hey, Paul said, I believe God. I don't know about you, but I believe God just as Paul did. I believe it shall be even as it was told me in the book of God. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. Truthfully, I'm listening for that shout. I'm listening for the trump of God to sound. I want to hear that. I do not look forward to death. I've got the piece of property bought over in Mount Olivet Cemetery. And so I know where I'll be planted if death does come. But I'm not looking for death. I'm looking for God to come back. But at the same time, I realize if death comes, I'm simply moving. I'm going to move out of this world and out of this earthly tabernacle to a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And that move is going to be gain. One time when Lester Roloff, who was in Corpus Christi and going through all kinds of problems with the government, the rumor got out that he was wealthy. And a reporter asked him and said, hey, we've heard that you're wealthy and we want to know, are you a rich man? And he said, yes. But I'm temporarily separated from my assets. Hey, he's been reunited with those assets. Hey, to die is gain. To die is gain. I like living where I live right now. I like the house that I live in. I like the place that I live. Only one place I've ever lived in my life that I enjoyed more. But I was a kid then. But I'll tell you what, when I move, it'll be gain. It'll be gain. Oh yeah, it'll be gain. Hey, but I'm glad that while I'm here, I've got the assurance from God that His grace is sufficient for me. Whatever might come, I've got His assurance. His grace is sufficient. I can get through it. I can overcome it. Hey, what are you? You believe God? If you believe God, you ought to get busy. You ought to get busy preparing for eternity and getting other people prepared for eternity. You ought to be involved. You ought to be realizing, hey, this life here is not just for me to consume it upon myself and entertain myself and have a big old time. Not against you enjoying life. I enjoy life. But that's not what it's all about. There's another day coming. There's a brighter day coming. There's a better day coming. If you believe God, do you believe Him? Do you believe Him? You see, I'm convinced a lot of people that name the name of Christ, their belief is a little bit shaky. Little shaky. That's why they really won't go whole hog, if you will. Go all the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. We hold back some. Oh man, you're making a mistake. You're making a mistake. Hey, do you believe God? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Do you have that assurance that no matter what happens, to die is gain? Can you look at it that way and say, not worried about it? Now, the process of dying, I don't look forward to. If I knew I was going to go the way my mom did, it'd be great. Man, boom, she's gone. What? That's the best way to go. You know, just out of here, you know. But I don't know. It may be a long, drawn-out process. It may be sickness. It may be all kinds of things. I don't look forward to dying, but death doesn't worry me. It's just a move. You got that confidence? Do you believe God that much? Do you have that relationship with Him? Have that relationship with Him? Looking forward to seeing Him? Looking forward to seeing Him? Not afraid to be brought into His presence in a moment. Looking forward to it. What's your relationship with Him like? Well, if it needs to be worked on, this is a good place to work on it. This is a good place to get right with God. Good place. Man, if you're here and you know Him, could I just give you that assurance? It's going to be just the way He said. Just the way He said. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, today for the Word of God. We thank You, Lord, for the assurance we have as a saved soul, that You've made some promises to us. You've told us what's coming in this life. You've told us, Lord, that that trump's going to sound and the archangel's going to shout. Lord, we're going to be invited to come up hither. Lord, I pray that day would be very, very, very soon. But Lord, realize that death, just a move. But maybe there's folks here this morning don't have that confidence because they've never really trusted Christ, never put their faith in Him. Lord, would You just deal with them today? Bring conviction. Lord, there's maybe some Christians that need some convincing that it will be just as You said.